Think about how you use electricity. You wake up, turn on some lights, and maybe have a hot shower. After work, you come home, cook some dinner, watch TV. In the winter, maybe you heat with some kind of electric heat. Or even more likely, maybe in the summer you switch on the AC. At the same time, millions of others are doing the same thing, and that sets up big peaks and valleys in electricity demand. New England has two seasonal peaks, one in the dog days of summer and another smaller one in the coldest days of winter. These peaks are a problem, which we'll get back to. Gordon Van Wiley, the CEO and president of the grid's operator, ISO New England, says one way of dealing with this is not just to put power plants on the grid, but to reward big electric consumers, factories and such, for getting off.
Really, that's what's driven us from hundreds of assets to thousands of assets that we're having to keep track of.
The ISO says those thousands of assets represent 1,100 megawatts worth of demand that can be shaved off the peaks. That's just shy of 5% of New England's record peak demand. This usually works by factories switching on big diesel generators at peak hours so they can unplug from the grid. But Mike Hogan, who works for the Regulatory Assistance Project advising policymakers on how to get carbon out of the electric supply, says now folks are getting more creative. For example, say the manager of a big office building wants to run the AC all day, but doesn't want to pay the daytime electric rates.
It's relatively straightforward to install a system. In this case, if it's for air conditioning, you would store ice, make ice, store the ice, and deliver chilled air at the time that he wants it.
So off-peak prices can be stored for use during peak hours in a lot of ways. That brings us to Seabrook, New Hampshire.
Taking power from the grid, compressing air, storing that air, then reversing that process to run the air through our machine and generate power again.
Richard Brody is a vice president at Sustainex, a company founded on the invention of a couple of Dartmouth graduates. They make what's basically a huge, super-efficient air compressor built out of the bottom half of a ship engine.
These type of engines, this family of engines, powers 80% of the world's marine fleet. Very dependable, very mature technology.
The technology was imagined as a way to smooth out the supply provided by intermittent renewables like wind. But its developers say any factory could use it to provide power on demand. The test facility Sustainex is building will be able to put away 2 megawatts of air. It's small, but it's still, quote, grid scale, about enough to power 1,000 homes. Technology like this can, in turn, make power cheaper overall. That's because there is literally a fleet of power plants that just sit for most of the year, waiting for those peak hours and seasons. The problem of having to fire up these expensive and often dirty power plants is what the grid operators are trying to solve. And the solutions aren't limited to factories and huge electricity consumers. For example, some utilities will give electric hot water heaters to their residential customers for free in exchange for letting the utility control the heater. The power company can turn off heaters during the peak hours. Folks can still use the hot water stored in the tank, but the heat gets stored back up when electricity is cheap. These types of technologies are part of what those talking about smart grids are referring to. In New Hampshire, there's only one utility making these improvements in a big way on the residential front. The New Hampshire Electric Co-op is helped by a $17 million stimulus grant. They serve about 83,000 meters in the center of the state.
We just recently finished installing our new smart meters in all of those locations.
Seth Wheeler is the director of communications for the Electric Co-op. It's working with a few hundred customers to pilot something called a dynamic pricing model. This charges more for consumption during the peak hours and less for off-peak, giving an incentive to conserve during the peaks. It can save utilities money, too, since the meters report consumption automatically.
We cover 9 out of the 10 counties, and we've got over 5,500 miles of line. So meter reading costs alone, there's significant savings to be realized there.
But also, utilities pay into a regional pool that is used for necessary upgrades to transmission lines, and the rate they pay is based on their peak demand. So smoothing that peak reduces those payments as well. These types of programs would take millions of enrollees to make a difference on a grid scale, and so far in New Hampshire, it's not widespread. But if this change picks up steam across the region, it could facilitate another big change that has been talked about for decades now, turning each individual home into a powerhouse. That's next time. Can distributed generation really ever take hold? For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.